Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawbona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings. And may peace be upon you all.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday morning mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, self-care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, repairing broken families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Grand Rising, and thank you for joining us on this Thursday morning for
Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And we want you to call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak to the host, because we want to hear your point of view. And we also want to talk to you about something that is quite common, and this is something that you may have recognized even in your own life. So if you are someone who recognizes yourself with this problem, we want you to join us. And certainly if you are someone who may need some counsel about this issue, we want you to call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak to the host. And we'll be joined by Dr. Debbie Green, and you can join us live on Facebook, and go to Facebook and go to Soulful Solutions, and you will see the beautiful face of Dr. Debbie Green. We'll be right back after this quick break, and we will be joined by Dr. Debbie Green, who will talk to us about learned helplessness. Have you ever felt stuck in life and felt totally defeated? And even when you could escape the situation, you stay in it anyway? We'll talk about that. Have you ever adapted to a situation that was unhealthy for you and became comfortable in that unhealthy behavior? This sort of behavior is called learned helplessness. Learned helplessness was first coined by a psychologist by the name of Martin Seligman, based on an experiment on dogs and the act of motivation and self-control. So join us to discuss this topic in detail. And you may be surprised that some of your behavior that is unhealthy could be causing major problems in your life. Many of us are stuck on the notion that the world is out to get us and people just treat us wrong. And if people would just treat us right, then and we could get a break, we'd be okay. Well, it's not really about that. It's not what other people are doing. It's what you are telling yourself that you can't do. And you learn to remain in a state of helplessness that becomes an accepted way of life, even though you know it's bad. What is keeping you from doing the thing that would change your reality? Well, we'll talk about that and how to change patterns that keep you feeling like a helpless victim. Well, we'll be right back with Dr. Debbie Green to talk about what creates learned helplessness. How do you get out of a bad situation? How do you change the belief that you can't get out of a bad situation? How do you change the thoughts that put you in that situation in the first place? Well, we certainly want you to call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we will come right to you and get your thoughts as we take a look at what actually creates that state of learned helplessness and what it is that keeps us stuck in it, afraid to come out, afraid to change the situation that we ourselves have created. And this is what we want you to think about.
Persisting is going to continue to persist. So, you know, take a moment. Do some self-evaluation. I often tell people, I say, if you have a button to push and something's always bothering you, you have to ask yourself, why is that button there in the first place? Now, you can blame. You can say, oh, I'm hurting because you made me hurt. I'm feeling sad because you made me feel sad. I'm feeling angry because you made me angry. But just so you know, no one at any given time has that much power over you. So if you're allowing this to happen, if you are finding yourselves in the same rut, the same cycles over and over and over again, you got to ask yourself, why am I doing this? Why is this constantly happening? You know, what's causing this to happen? What's in me that causes me to get back into these same patterns in broken relationships or trying to live up to somebody else's expectations or keep on giving with nothing left to give? These are cycles in life. And these are things that happen in people's families and all of these things, but truth be told, if you don't take care of yourself, ain't nobody going to do that for you. No one cannot make not one mistake for you. No one cannot make one choice for you. No one cannot make a decision for you. So if anything changes and it seems like it's not getting better, that's because you have to change it. And you say, well, Dr. Deb, I've been trying to get this thing over and over and over and over again, but it just seems like every time I try, I get knocked back down. Well, like my mother always said to me when I was a child, nothing beats a try. Nothing beats failure but a try. That's what I meant to say. So as long as you keep trying, you'll never fail. And our topic today is discussing and understanding this thing called learned helplessness. Yes. Yes, you didn't know? You didn't know helplessness can be learned? When we stop helping ourselves out of things? When we stop rescuing ourselves out of bad relationships? When we just allow things to persist? Allow people to keep hurting us over and over again, not saying that's enough and no. We get comfortable with pain. We get so comfortable that we make a bed in it. We make a bed in it and we lie in it. So a question, how can you give life to dead things? Dead things that don't give life, but people constantly try and keep trying to give life to something that does not have life. What's wrong with that picture? What's really going on behind the scenes? Are they afraid? Are they afraid to move? Are they afraid? Do they feel crippled? Do they feel less than? Do they lose self-worth? All of the above. When a person, a human being, gets comfortable in their pain, that means they are afraid to move, and we call that fear. Fear is this thing that thinks for you, it feels for you, it even will speak for you if you allow it, but it will ruin your life. It would kill you softly. Oh, no, it don't play fair. It will kill you softly, baby. You'll be laying down in the bed trying to figure it out and can't move, thinking that your life is over. And guess what? It's all in your head. Oh, you say, Dr. Dan, wait a minute. You mean to tell me I've been thinking about this thing? I've thinking about this. It's all in my head all the time.
Yes.
Yes. It is all in your head. Hold on one second, honey. I got to send this email out to my executive producer. Hold on one second because she was supposed to be on, but she lost the link. But, yes, this is real, y'all. This is real. And, you know, it's so many people out there that constantly give life to dead things. And you wonder, you're like, why is this happening? Why am I doing this? Why am I giving life to dead things? Well, I tell you what, you better go check it. Go check it, find out what it is that's causing the problem, and do something about it. Do something about it. Don't you sit there and act like it's okay, because it's not. It's not okay. It is not okay for you to do nothing. It is not okay. It is not okay. It is not okay for you to do nothing. No, that's not an option. I'm so sorry. It is not an option for you to sit there and act like nothing's happening. It is not an option for you to give up on yourself. It is not an option for you to let anyone at any time harm you. I don't
okay,
care
this
who they
is
are,
what we are doing.
Strange. No, it's not. It's not. No. I don't know what that's written down in, what rule book you got that from, for somebody to allow themselves to be in misery and get comfortable with it. No. No. How are you going to live? No, you just be existing. You will literally just be existing.
Oh,
and you know, when someone even tries to help you, you will self-sabotage. You will say, well, ain't nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. Everything is all right. No, it's not. So who's lying to who? You're lying to yourself. You are literally lying to yourself. Well, Dr. Dev said you got to come on out.
And before you realize
you cannot do
you have created something you can't handle. Because your children will get stuck in that same process, learned helplessness. So I just wanted to give you a little feedback on that. We're going to go a little deeper in that topic. I want you to understand the concepts of learned helplessness. I want you to understand where it arrived from, how it was invented by a psychologist that discovered it when he did some testing. And it is a psychological defect. All right, looks like my executive producer is backstage. Here she goes.
Grand Rising.
Great rising queen, how are you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm wonderful, queen, and
All right. You're
looking beautiful as always.
Well, thank you. So do you with that beautiful smile. You are just gorgeous. If you, I know there's probably lighting where you are. My lighting is faulty, more so here, but you always just seem to be illuminated.
It's the light.
Yes.
But I hope I'm projecting light as well.
Yes. So did we get on Blog Talk correctly? Or
yes.
We,
yes, we did. So we're. As a matter of fact, I was playing your voice on Facebook as I was, waiting to sign in. So,
gotcha.
So
okay.
Our listeners have been kept up to speed with
all
your
right.
presentation. And you know, as you were talking, I think about so many people that I know that are in very upsetting relationships, and they stay there thinking that they can make the other person change, as opposed to realizing this is who they are. Either you accept them or you leave.
Yes.
And, I hear complaints over and over again, oh, he's doing this, oh, he's doing that. Okay, well, after you talk about it and he's decided that this is who he is and either you accept it or not, then you have a choice that you're going to make. Either you're going to stay there and be miserable or you're going to leave. But you can't make someone be what you want them to be for you. You have to decide what you need for your own happiness.
That's right. That's
and if they're
right.
not it, then, move on. And we get stuck believing that we have to make someone love us in order to feel validated or feel worthy. And like you're saying, you know, you have to go back and find out where did that start? Where was that pattern created where you felt like you weren't valid or you weren't worthy unless someone treated you well? And so you find that person who's treating you badly and try to change how they're treating you, as opposed to getting out of a relationship where people are treating you badly.
Correctly. And again, this is a defect. That's what it is. It's a cognitive distortion, you know, of believing that something is when it is not.
Mm.
And it's something that is a reality. We call it a virtual reality.
A virtual reality
is what's in your head, but it's not in real life.
Mm.
And a lot of people create these virtual realities, Naima, and they live them. They literally live what's in their heads.
Yeah,
and everybody else can see the truth but you.
Mm.
And then one day, the truth hits you so hard till it knocks the breath out of you. And that's where we go with that depression, anxiety, you know, where your whole body is shook because of this lie that you've been living. But I wanted to go a little more deeper in how it even was created.
Mm-hmm.
There was a psychologist, his name is Martin Seligman, and he did a research on some dogs at first. And what he was doing, the research he was doing was actually he was doing some type of electrical stimulation. Where it wasn't really causing immense pain, but it was causing, like,
a little
discomfort.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah,
a little discomfort. So he had the dogs that did not have the pain and did not have the electrical stimulation, and then he had the dogs that did. So what he did was the ones that he was examining on, the ones that was in his group of, you know, stimulation with the pain, what he would do is, the pain stimulated them, and the actual, they were in this cage. And when the pain stimulated them, most animals will run to try to escape,
right? Right.
All right? So what happened was when it stimulated the dogs ran to escape, but they figured out that they couldn't get out.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't, you know, they of course, at first they panicked. And then they stopped because it didn't continue. This stained like one time.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? It wasn't a continuous stinging.
Mm-hmm.
It was just enough to make them move, right?
Right.
So they ran to the door of the cage trying to get out, and they couldn't get out, so they stopped because the pain stopped at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So it was like a random thing that they were doing, testing to see how many would just continue to run to get out, and how many just continue to let the pain keep hitting them and not even run to the door at all.
So what happened over time?
Well, over time was the dogs that could get out, they continued to run and kept scratching at the door to get out. Some of them did, and then some of them didn't do anything. They just allowed them to
suffer through the pain.
Right. And they never tried to escape at all because they gave up. You give up and you just settle for whatever it is that you think that you can't get out. But all they had to do was push. They had to push through. If they pushed a little harder, they ran to the cage, to the door, but they didn't go out because they thought they couldn't because the door was closed. But some of them just kept moving. Some of them didn't give up, and some of them did not. So that's the difference between mindsets. And it's just like that with people. Some people will continue to progress no matter how much pain they go through and not just settle for dysfunction.
Some just give up.
And come out of it, and then some will just give up. So we ask ourselves, what is the difference between these two individuals? So, of course, we go back to upbringing, because upbringing, you know, has a lot to do with it. It's how a child was raised in a home, how the child was nurtured, how the child was told that, you know, and given what they call self-motivation, like, you know, gratitude, validation, appraisal. So if that child wasn't given those things, then it would not know that it had the self-control and the self-discipline to overcome any situation that may seem very difficult. And so what they would do, they would literally learn a state of helplessness, which means that they lose their power, they lose their self-control, and they literally start, they lose a lot of that. They even would even lose respect for themselves. So they will allow themselves to be mistreated, they will allow themselves to be used, or anything, you know, Annette Gondra things where a person just doesn't understand its own power to actually stand up for itself or anything like that. It is totally overtaken by fear.
You know, I'm so glad that you're addressing this today. It's very difficult. I've had a difficult time in helping people understand the link between the way they inflict pain on a child in the name of discipline and the ultimate crushing of that child's will and their spirit and their confidence. And I can see the correlation between the dogs that were able to escape the pain, and they understood, they learned that if I work hard enough, if I push hard enough, I can stop this discomfort. And the ones that came to feel like there's nothing I can do, I just have to learn to suffer with it until it finally stops, because
they
I can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, hoping that eventually it'll stop, but I can't do anything to fix it. And when you beat a child and they're young, they can't talk back, can't fight back, can't even cry. You know, you won't cry, let me hit you harder. You know, I mean, just that whole psychology of the helplessness of having to endure pain when you're a child and you can't make it stop no matter what you say, no matter how you try to explain. You just have to keep dealing with that pain. Parents that raise their children that way, that's what they're instilling in them. The helplessness to stop yourself from being abused.
Yeah.
And a lot of parents don't get that point because they're stuck on, well, I'm going to make them obey. No, you're going to teach them that they can be abused and they can't stop the abuse. That's what that lesson is that you're teaching. Mm-hmm. Because if you want to teach them correct behavior, then you teach them correct behavior, which doesn't involve hitting at all or any kind of pain.
Right.
It involves imparting knowledge and understanding. And that's what our parents need to learn how to do. And that's what we haven't learned how to do because we were raised by parents who didn't know how to do that. But that's
exactly
what we learned.
Yeah. Well, you know, of course, this is cultural, as you know of. You know, instead of talking to our children and helping them to understand exactly what it is that they're supposed to be doing, what they're not supposed to be doing, we inflict pain. We feel that that is how we get results.
Right.
And it's a society thing, you know, really and truly. It's a cultural thing. And I think in the black families, you know, black families are, you know, we're known to spank our children to all families do to a certain degree. But like you said, pain has its own place, and it doesn't have to be physical. You know, even verbal pain is just as bad. So
yeah.
Even if you are not, you may not be spanking them, but if you're telling them they're not worth nothing, you're a bad child, you never amount to anything, you know, nobody will ever love you, whatever it is that you're saying to them,
that's true.
Can tear a person's character down, and that's just worse as beating them with any object.
Yeah.
And matter of fact, it's worse than that.
Yeah.
Because they'll believe, whatever a person believes is what's going to continue in their brain.
That's their reality, their virtual reality.
That's their virtual reality.
And you know what's sad is that many people carry these negative statements with them all throughout adulthood, no matter how successful they get, no matter how much fame, wealth, accolades, inside there's still that broken child that was told they were stupid and ugly and never going to be anything and nobody will love you. And you see many very so-called successful, whether they're celebrities or whatever the case may be, but their personal lives are always shattered by these bad, abusive relationships. And you wonder, well, why are you tolerating bad treatment? Don't you feel good about yourself? And the answer is no, they don't, because that was what was planted in them early, and that's what they kept unconsciously gravitating toward, that person who made them feel bad, hoping that it would get better, but thinking they have to just stay there and take the pain.
Exactly, because we know in broken relationships, it doesn't matter if it's like between mother and daughter, father and son, however, in a family setting, broken relationships are the most effective of destroying a person's mental capabilities of success. Because it's like, it's not the stranger that tells you that you're not worth anything. It's the person that's supposed to love you that tells you.
Definitely.
And that's when it's most believable.
Yeah.
It's most believable, if, you know, when a person tells you that, you know, you're not worth anything and they're supposed to love you, that's the most believable. But then that, even then, that's a lie, of course.
Yeah.
So people begin to live falsehood lives, and if they don't, you know, really start doing self-evaluation, being self-aware, they will live long periods of their life feeling self-defeated. Self-defeated,
right.
Totally, and that's not a good thing.
Well, we got to take a break, but when we come back, I know we've got some calls on the line. If you've got something to say, please press 1 and give us, you know, an opportunity to hear your thoughts and maybe address some questions that you have. And if you see a pattern in your own life that you're struggling with, perhaps you can go back and figure out where that seed was planted. But give us a call, 515-605-9325. And if you're watching us on Facebook on Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green, you can write in your comments, and we'll certainly address them right here on Facebook Live. And we'll be right back after this quick break, so stay with us.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Tucson Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Tucson Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced, and we take the guesswork out for you. Let Tucson Essentials help you take control of your health today.
American people living in what could sometimes be a hostile environment, sometimes our response is expectation that there will be bad treatment and perception of bad treatment even when it doesn't exist.
Uh-huh.
And I see and hear that a lot with people who talk about, well, you know, I'd like to start a business, but they won't let me, or, you know, I'd like to start this career, but, you know, they're prejudiced, or, you know, I'd like to write a book, but they'll never publish it. I'd like to do this. I mean, it's all these things. People have these creative ideas, but they put an obstacle in their own path.
Yes.
And blame other people for not allowing them to do something instead of just pushing forward and making it happen and just having the mindset, I can do this and nobody can stop me. The mindset is always, well, you know, they're not going to let me do this and I can't do it because of their prejudice. And that has become kind of a conditioned response, maybe from the years and years and years of racial discrimination. Maybe our parents and our grandparents and great-grandparents, maybe they went through it so much that they actually said things that gave us the belief that we don't have the power to overcome. And so we learn to not aspire to higher things because we've been trained that we can't or that someone's going to prevent it. And it's giving power to people that they don't have. You know, you're giving other people power over you. They don't have any more power than you have. They're just the same human being that you are. They can treat you badly, and then you can, you know, go another way. You know, I mean, what is it that we need to do collectively to change a mindset that says other people have the power to prevent me from developing into my greatest expression of myself?
Yeah. Well, most people, and this is very true, most people live for validation of another individual. So what they would do is they will tell themselves that this person, I need you know, some type of appraisal for this person. I want them to think well of me before I do this.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can say, oh, I can't do this because they don't, you know,
approve.
Give me what I need.
Yeah.
Or otherwise, and so they'll come up with phantoms of making excuses or explanations or prejudgments on their own movements now, on their own movement.
Mm-hmm.
So, which means I don't have
Like if I say to myself, I don't have the knowledge I need to, you know, to do a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's what I'm telling myself.
Right.
I don't have the knowledge to, you know, say, oh, I can, you know, I can say that to myself, which is then putting a subduing of a more so a sabotage mindset, because you don't know if you don't have the knowledge. You know, I have clients and people that I deal with all the time, and they're like, what's the use of me trying? I say, well, wait a minute. Well, how do you know? I say, what's stopping you from trying? Oh, in the past I failed. I said, well, give me the evidence right now that you're going to fail. I said, where's the evidence? And I said, you can't pull it from something that was.
Right.
Because you don't, that's not true evidence. Give
right.
me the evidence in this very moment.
Right now.
That you're going to fail.
Right.
And they can't give it to me. I said, so where do you think that is coming from? I said, what's in your mind that gives life to something that is not in existence?
Mm.
It's not. I said, it's the fear of the uncertainty. I said, because you, what you allowed yourself to do is think that you can't. And again, that's learned helplessness. That's the highest form of learned helplessness when you, a person, would come up with excuses, explanations, prejudgments, all of these things that they call truth, you know, to say, I can't do it because, and they fill in the blank.
Mm.
But guess what? The blank, what they're filling in the blank with is not something that has evidence.
It's in their own mind. It's in their own mind.
It's all the mindset. So when you were saying a few minutes ago, you're like, well, what, you know, what's in a person's mind? Why, what can we do collectively? We could do this with our children. We could tell our children there is nothing impossible.
Yeah.
There's nothing impossible. I mean, point blank. That's it. There's nothing impossible.
Mm.
Because if you look at the word impossible, if you break it down, it would say, I
am
possible. So when I'm telling people, when I'm telling people this, if I'm telling this to a crowd of 5 years old to 100, you know, I tell them, I said, so you're telling me this, it's impossible for me to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
I said, really?
I said,
but wait a minute, let's look at the word you just used. I am possible. So what, you know, possible
it's
is
possible.
Not something that it is. It's just that you have allowed fear to think for you,
yes.
to feel for you, to live for you.
Absolutely.
And that's the reason why you're in the position. So let's say, and I always give them a good understanding that I say, let's remove fear. It's gone.
Mm.
Let's say you have no uncertainties. You know what I'm saying? You have everything you need and want and desire. Okay, so what's stopping you?
Mm.
And they can't say they cannot say anything
it's
else.
It's the fear of the disappointment when they try and it doesn't happen. So
we give up too easy.
We give up. It's just like the dogs.
The
you know, dog I tried and I couldn't get out, and so I don't want the disappointment of trying to stop this pain, and I realize I can't stop it. So rather than try, I just accept it and I lower my expectations. So therefore, I won't be disappointed.
Exactly. That person lowers their expectations. It is not the expectations or the anticipation that they will not be accomplished.
Mm.
It is them because they gave up. And the thing about it is, you say, well, I done tried and tried and tried and tried. I say, you're just using the wrong solution.
Right.
You're doing the same thing expecting a different result. That's true insanity.
Right.
I said, you have to look at it, go back and reevaluate. Okay, where did it go wrong? And don't blame nobody.
Right.
Don't blame anyone, because if you blame someone, you're going to be a victim.
And yeah, you give away your power, because if you take
Correct.
Responsibility, then you can decide what changes you can make in your decisions in order to change the outcome. But as long as the thought is, well, I need them to change what they're doing, well, you don't have any power over anybody but yourself. So that means
Right.
you've given away the power to change things by putting it in somebody else's hands.
Right, and we go back to that same thing we've been talking about previously in previous shows, victim mentality and
yeah.
enslaved mindset.
Yeah.
Because if you are enslaved your pain.
Mm-hmm.
You will never come out.
You never come out. You don't believe you can. You know, it's interesting. Last night I was watching, I don't know how many of you all are old enough to remember the show Mission Impossible. You know, I was watching the old TV channels. And Mission Impossible, it was like, it was this thing that this group had to do, and it would seem like it's impossible, but they would figure out ways, and they used all kinds of various tactics, but they would achieve what would seem to be an impossible mission.
Yes.
And so this lets you know nothing is impossible. You just have to figure out, what do I need to do in order to get the thing that I want done?
Right.
And it might have to be something unconventional, something very imaginative, but
right.
everything is possible. And that's
right.
what we have to teach our children. You know, I remember back when Barack Obama was first running for president, and I had a student, and I guess he'd gone through some disappointments in life, and he just kept saying, no, he's never going to win. They are not going to let him win. He's going to be assassinated. I mean, he kept putting that negative thought out there, and I'm like, why are you believing that? Yeah, because they would never let us get to the presidency. They would never let us have that kind of position. You know, and I realized something inside of him had been ingrained probably by some adults to think that there are some obstacles. And he was a very talented student, very intelligent, you know, one of the honors students that I had. But something had happened that disappointed him so deeply in life that he just couldn't believe that this could happen. But, of course, as we know, not only did Barack Obama get elected once, he got reelected for the second term. So
exactly.
For everybody who thought that that could not happen, that perhaps undid that belief system that there are limits to what we will be allowed to do, and you understand that no one has power over you. No one
That's right.
has power over you.
No yeah. one but yourself.
No one but yourself.
If you, what they call, if you fail-proof, which means if you don't use your own, I call it fail-proof.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't use your own power, you can only blame yourself. Mm-hmm. You can come up with all kinds of excuses. Why? Oh, because of this one said this and that one said that. But at the end of the day, you made the choice.
Right.
You made the decision. So, you know, you can't cop out. It's a lot of times that's what people do. They come up with all types of ways. I mean, unless the thing about this is you have to be in some serious imminent fear. I mean, of reality.
Mm.
Of imminent fear. And, you know, we know this to be in domestic violence. When a person is fearful in their minds that they will stay in a very dangerous situation because of learned helplessness.
Right. So now a person who is in, say, a domestic violence situation, and they've adjusted, you know, they know that perhaps their spouse will get to a certain level of anger and it may turn violent, may hit them, and they're like the dog. They don't leave. They just say, well, it'll be over eventually, so I'll just wait until the pain subsides. I'll just take it. What is the fear that has been instilled in them that keeps them choosing to endure pain that they know is coming and they believe will eventually stop? What is the fear that they have that keeps them from saying, I'm going to leave this situation rather than endure any more pain? What is it? What are they believing incorrectly that keeps them staying there? Are they believing the person will eventually stop hitting them? Are they believing, well, you know, this is just part of relationships and I just learned to endure this? Are they believing if I leave, then what I'm going to suffer is worse than what I'm suffering now because I don't have the capacity to take care of myself? What keeps them stuck in that situation?
All of the above, because guess what? It depends on the mindset of the individual. Some people believe that, you know, they have to stay in that relationship because that's all they can do. Some people believe that if they move, if they leave, they're going to die. That person is going to kill them.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them feel that this is all, you know, that they have, you know, and they're afraid, and some don't even take it seriously. You have some people, a person beats them, oh, no, they need me. They need me. They didn't mean to do it.
Mm.
They need me. They need me to be in their lives because I'm going to help them through it.
Mm.
Mindset. So it depends on, again, it depends on how that person is thinking. If they're thinking with a fear mindset, all of the above. But if they're thinking with a freedom mindset, they will know at that point to, at all costs, to free themselves. And they will only seek the truth in it. They won't seek anything else. The truth says this person is abusive, this person is hurting me in some type of way, and I can no longer allow them to do it. So I have to protect myself at all costs, even if it means life itself.
Mm.
So if you're hurting me, and if I have to hurt you back or to keep you from hurting me, I will move away from you. But if you're coming towards me to hurt me, because this is what happens, a lot of times they will escape and they don't know, they don't really come to the highest level of protecting themselves. They'll go to the police, some of them. Some of them will go to the police and do a what they call a writ, which is a protective.
Order of protection.
Yes.
Which is kind of useless because the person who violates you, they don't care about that.
Most of the time they don't, so they'll keep violating, especially if they got I call it a mental illness of hostility.
Yeah.
You know, they don't care about
life. They want to feel power over you.
Right. They just want to hurt you. That's all they want. They want power over you. They don't care what they have to do. They become mindless, emotionless people. So did we have a caller?
We've got a caller on the line, and if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 so that your number lights up on our switchboard. And if you're on our switchboard now, press 1, and that lets us know you have something to say. And our callers, no one has pressed 1 as yet, but remember, at about 5 minutes to, someone just pressed 1. I was about to say, don't wait till the last minute. We won't even be able to get your call. Okay, we're going to take this call at area code 863-816. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your question or comment.
Yeah, good morning, Marianne Rising, L.A., Central Florida. I think the topic is what, learned helplessness?
Yes, helpless.
I think a lot of people, I don't know what the percentage is, but it's probably high. I think a lot of people, when it comes to learned helplessness, they're frightened when they discover how powerful they actually are, but afraid to use that power. That's just my comment.
You know, that's an interesting thing as well. And you've talked about L.A., a lot of the places that you've seen, where groups of people will simply organize themselves, purchase land, develop townships, and all of these things, and then other people will stay in a ghetto-type environment, and they have the same. Both groups have the same power, but one group chooses to stay in a position of impoverishment and chooses to continue to believe themselves incapable of taking care of themselves, and another group will recognize that they have the power to just simply cooperate and use what you call social capital, help each other build homes, help each other plant gardens, help each other to function, interact with their skills, and build communities that are highly functional and prosperous. And they have nothing that they have nothing more than the group that chooses to stay in poverty has, other than a different mindset. So and observing that, L.A., what do you think is the difference between those who stay in poverty, even though they may have intelligence and skills and all that, but they choose to stay in poverty, as opposed to those who choose to organize their resources and create a prosperous community? What's the difference that you observe?
Well, I guess it's, you have a different answer for each person, but the thought of it can be, you know, the frightening of I mean, well, like some, you just mentioned a few moments ago about Barack Obama. The thought of a black person, particularly a black man, matter of fact, I even said to myself, I was having a conversation with somebody, you know, we had some meeting in D.C. This was around, like, 1987. And, you know, again, there's no way a black man will be able to be president of the United States in our lifetime. Well, so Barack Obama shattered that one. But, and I think what it came down to is he just realized what he could do.
Yeah.
Or what anybody could do, regardless of race or color. And he just acted on it and it worked out. So I think that I think that's the case with a lot of people. They might realize that, and a lot of people don't realize, oh, wait a minute, it can't be that simple. You know, then they look for outside forces outside of them to validate them when, no, you don't need no outside forces. All you need to, if you have that thought, if you stick with that thought and put some feet behind, you know, action behind it, you can, I mean, it's amazing what people can do.
Absolutely.
Oh, they didn't. Yeah.
You got to overcome fear. And, you know, a lot of the ugly things that happen, like the lynching and you know, mass acts of cruelty, those were designed to create a mindset of fear so that you would not believe you could step forward without encountering pain. That was the purpose of that, to condition people to respond with fear, as opposed to believing that you can overcome anything, no matter what people do to you. You have the same power they have as a human being. No one has any more power than anyone else. So recognizing that is what gives people the motivation to do what it is they have in mind to do. But as long as we believe that other people have some kind of power that we don't have, then we respond as if they have more power than they actually have. So the mind conditioning works. If someone can do something to you, if someone can inflict pain on you over and over again, just like with the dogs, and you don't see a way to stop it, you don't see a way to escape from it, you're going to believe that this is a state of being that you have to just endure, as opposed to understanding if you just put forth some effort, you can escape that situation and create something else.
Correct, correct. Mm-hmm. And I think we really get complacent too quickly as a people. Again, what's the difference between a person that constantly drives themselves, I mean, to a point where, you know, success, you know, you can have a person that was homeless, and then, you know, they just, you know, they try out over everything, you know. So we can't say that it's impossible, and, you know, like LA said, some people are afraid of themselves. They're afraid. They think, they think, I can't do this. This may be too much for them.
Yeah.
You know,
thinking someone else has to approve of you doing something before you can do it. Why are we believing that? Why are we allowing ourselves to believe? Well, it's conditioning. Again, you know, years and years of conditioning. And I know we got to go to break in a minute. But a couple of times the issue has come up as to whether or not it's harmful for us to keep teaching about slavery to our children. And is this conditioning them to believe that they are less powerful than they are? Are we conditioning them to believe that other people have power over them? Are we conditioning them to live in fear by teaching that history? Or is there a way we should teach it as a means to show that you can triumph over anything, which we have done? So is it a matter of not teaching it, or is it a matter of the way we teach it and the perspective that we teach it, so that they don't feel like they are still victims of a system that they can't escape? That's the question.
So I know we've got to take a break. And thank you, L.A. As always, we appreciate your insight.
Yes.
And, you know, and there are people who have said we need to not talk about race. We need not talk about what happened. We're just making it worse. We're making our children afraid. And then some people say, well, that's reality, and we need to teach them reality. So the question is, what is reality? And how are we teaching? And Ellie, we may come back to you for, you know, comments on the topic later. But that's the question. What is reality? And is what we're teaching in terms of what we call reality harmful if we're teaching a thought that someone has power over you and you can't escape their abuse?
Right.
So we'll talk about that when we come back, and we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been a victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code TheFemaleSolution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
And this always gets a lot of people upset when it's said, other ethnic groups, they'll come here and they'll say, look, well, you know, we came here, we went through racial discrimination, you know, the Polish, the Irish, you know, the Italians. Everybody had their time of being treated mean, you know, the Chinese, the Koreans. You know, everybody was treated badly when they first got here, but they pulled together and kind of pulled themselves out of it. So when the question is asked to those of African descent who came here by force, not the recent immigrants, who also come here and succeed, you know, the question is, what's wrong with you people that you can't get yourself out of the state of poverty and high crime? Why can't you do it and everybody else did it? And it is the learned helplessness that other immigrants didn't have when they came. They came with the understanding that if I work hard, I can make it. Yeah, people might discriminate. Yeah, okay, they're kind of mean. But we're going to pull our family together. We're going to work hard. We're going to sacrifice. We're going to put money into education. We're going to buy property. And we're going to achieve that American dream. And every other ethnic group has done that, even those of African descent who recently came here and didn't have the trauma of slavery riding on their back. But yeah, those of us who went through that experience have not been able to shake off the idea that other people are more powerful than we are, because we have had generations of conditioning to believe that no matter what I do, I can't stop the pain. I can't make them stop abusing me. They're not going to allow me to escape. That conditioning is what keeps us in this state of learned helplessness, when in fact it really is in our own minds. It doesn't matter if people like you. It doesn't matter if they're mean to you. They can't make you less than who you are. God made you who you are. You have all power to do whatever you desire. The only thing stopping you is yourself. And when people say that, there are those who get angry and say, yeah, but see, other people didn't go through slavery. Yeah, okay, that was an experience. But that's not an identity. That was an experience. We have to let it go, and we keep holding on to it. And it's crippling. It has crippled us to the point where we're believing that we are less powerful than we are. And other people who come here, and they may go through a generation of struggle, but then after that second generation, they got it and gone. You know, they got doctors and lawyers and real estate holdings and, you know, starting companies and all these things, and they maybe have only been here for the last 50 years, and we've been here for 300 years.
Yes.
And so many of us cannot escape that belief that other people have power over us. And yes, I know racism exists, but it has existed for every group that has come here. Everybody has been treated badly by those who have money and positions of authority. Everybody's been treated badly. What is it that we need to do to change that learned helplessness as a collective that keeps us reproducing poverty in our cities, even though we what is that $900 billion economy that we have as African Americans in America, you know, equal to the ninth largest nation, and yet the mindset is that of helplessness. And, well, if the government will do this for us, or if they'll do that, well, okay, they gave you welfare, and then what did that do? Okay, created more learned helplessness. Now you learn not to have a family. You learn not to teach the sons to prepare themselves to be responsible. You learn not to teach your children at home so that they have skills before they even go to the school. I mean, we learn all these things that reinforce helplessness, and still thinking the answer is to have somebody give us something.
Right.
And it isn't. It's to change the learned helplessness. How do we do that? And every time someone says you can do it, there's always somebody who says, oh, but no, we're discriminated against, and there's racism, and we were slaves, and we can't make it. But everybody else who has come here has made it. And at this point, we've been here too many generations to use that as an excuse. How do we undo that learned helplessness?
Well, you know, I want to actually tell our listeners a comment that one of our Facebook viewers, Queen Vieta Robinson, said, slavery is his story, not history, but his story, and should be a balanced point of view, giving a spiritual point and karmic point of view. Absolutely. I totally agree with you.
I agree.
I totally agree with you. Because if you don't understand truly where you came from, you really can't understand truly where you're going.
Right.
And so now, you know, everything that you do, from every choice you make, all of your education, everything that you do becomes something foreign to you. It's like you're doing it, but then you're not doing it in the right spiritual connotation, the right understanding of doing. You're doing it because you think you're supposed to be doing it.
Mm.
You're not doing it for the truest reason. I am. This I am. I am.
Mm-hmm.
I deserve this. I am worthy of this. You know, I am. And, you know, and we have to allow the I am to come out. And not for anyone. It's not you. It's not for no other roles. You know, I ask this question all the time. You know, this is a miracle question. If you had everything you could possibly have that you think you need to complete you, but you couldn't play any roles, take all the roles away. You're nobody's sister. You're nobody's brother. You're nobody's child. You're nobody's mother. You're nobody's father. You take all the roles away. What role would you play for yourself?
Who would you be if it's just
you? Who would you be? Because that's a role, too.
Right.
Who would you be? You know, I mean, we get to with that point, with the point I'm making, Naeem, is that we get so attached to our outside world.
Yeah.
In our mind, and we live simultaneously, randomly, every day, codependency, on purpose, whatever it is, for the outside world. And again, here we go. We lose our identity.
Yes, we do.
We've lost.
We've
lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're identifying ourselves based on what other people tell us we are. You know, when Vianna speaks of teaching the history from a karmic spiritual point of view, if we look at what happened even in the enslavement process, and it was interesting, I think it was a couple of weeks ago on Mama D's show on Saturday, one of our guests, Kojo, who spent some time in Ghana, he's a Korean War veteran, and when he spent time living in Ghana, he spoke about the fact that many of the nations there were very much enthusiastically involved in the slave trade as a business. So if you're selling the people in your area for whether it's for money, for political gain, for greater weaponry or whatever, we did this to ourselves. It was the greed factor that made people decide to throw ethics out the window. And I don't care about your humanity. It doesn't matter that the slavery in America was worse. The fact is, our own people did this, and this is the this is the karmic lesson to be learned. You can't abuse people and it not come back to you, because if you have large numbers of people sold away, then you destabilize the economy because you've got your youngest, best, brightest people gone, so then others can then overtake you and impoverish you. That's what happened. We can't blame anybody. It's the karma of mistreating someone, and that mistreatment comes back on you. And then you've got generations where we had to learn how to cooperate so that we didn't recreate that same inner conflict that created that whole mess that escalated into a global business of trading human beings. So we as a human family did that to each other, and we who come from the continent did that to each other, and we experience the consequences of those choices. No one else with any greater power than we have did that to us. We did that to ourselves. We got to take responsibility for it. Otherwise, we'll never be able to come out of it. And once we learn the lesson of cooperation, all the struggles that we had to go through with the civil rights movement and the organizing, that was learning how to cooperate, how to love each other enough and help each other enough to get out of the situation that we created by fighting with each other. That was the answer. So that was the karmic lesson to be learned. And if we teach it from that perspective, then we're not pointing a finger at white people or anybody else, but like, we did this. And if we are loving and cooperative and kind and compassionate to each other, that will never happen again. And we can get out of the poverty that we created.
Absolutely. And it takes one mind to do that.
It takes one mind, yes.
Not many minds all over the place.
Yeah, you gotta be one mind.
It only takes one mind. And because if we unify, and again, people are afraid of change. They're afraid of change. They, even when they can come out, they are afraid of change.
They're afraid
of
responsibility.
They'd rather stay where they are.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate that these enslaved mindsets of, as Vienna Robinson says here on Facebook, she's, what about mental slavery today, depending on master government to provide in our life? Well, you know, for those who feel that they are underneath that mindset, that is true. They, you know, again, nothing is impossible. You know, it is one of those things. I think education.
There are no missions that are impossible.
Education is the best gift you can give yourself.
Right.
There's so many ways to education on this earth that you say, if you get a computer and get you internet, you're sitting in front of the world. The world. There's no excuse for a person to say, I'm not educated.
Right.
I mean, you don't always have to go into a university or a college
not
and pay
days.
Large amounts of money. You can just sit there and study. Someone has already done it for you.
Right.
PDF. You got books online that are totally free. I do it all the time.
All the time.
All the time. Whatever it is, put PDF. If you want to know something, I don't care if it's something, how to grow plants, PDF. Mm. Somebody's wrote a book on it, and it's online.
It's somewhere.
All you got to do is get you a printer, get you some black and white, some color, print, you know. That's it. And just go ahead and start your whole library before you realize it. You are educated.
Right. If you don't like reading, hey, look it up on YouTube, whatever the subject is. Watch the video.
Education is education. It doesn't matter.
Yes, right. You can learn.
It doesn't matter. I think the more education we have, the better off we are.
Absolutely.
When it comes to our innate ability to help another human being, you know, like me, I'm in this helping field, so which means I have to stay on top of my game because the mind is forever changing. Someone is always discovering something better to do something, you know, to help us strategically to live a better life, you know. What is a better life? A life of freedom.
Right.
That's it. A life of freedom. Because if you're bound in any type of way to anything that's preventing you from living your fullness, highest self, the higher self. If something, if you feel I'm not living up to the highest possibilities of myself, you need to do a self-evaluation. You know, look at what it is. Am I comfortable where I am? You shouldn't be.
Right. Should always be striving for higher.
I don't think nobody needs to be comfortable where they are. I think everybody needs to know that there's always another ladder. There's always another step. There's always, you know, constant. You know, to go higher and higher. Like, you know, for me, Dr. Dev has goals. I know I'm a book writer. I know I'm an author. But I have to stop and do it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I have so much going on in this mind. You know,
you have
it's
to share
just
the
helping.
Knowledge. Yeah. But, you know, Viola mentions the slave mentality that makes us think we have to depend on the government. If you think about what you really need from day to day to day, if we just simply did something as simple as cooperate with our friends and family and neighbors, we could supply all of our needs, and the government really doesn't have to do anything different than what's being done right now. There's a concept, there's a belief system. Well, if they would just give us some money. Well, they did that, you know. What happened to the stimulus checks? That everybody's just gone, and they may have some new thing. What, a new flat screen TV? Everybody ran out and bought, you know.
And they took it back during tax time.
Yeah, they took it right.
That money back. State and federal government took the money back.
Took it back. So
yes, they did.
So the thing is, you know,
they
what
never gave you nothing.
Right. So is that really the answer? If what you, like you're saying, if you had everything you need, what do you really need to make you happy? And it's not a thing. People keep thinking, well, if I had money, I could buy this and I could buy that and I could buy that and then I'd be happy.
Mm-mm.
But it's not a thing. The happiness is within you. You could have absolutely nothing but a tent and live on some grass and pull up some plants and cook them over a fire and be just as content. It, the contentment, the joy is within you. It's a state of being. And no matter what thing you have, if you don't have that state of being in it, inside of you first, you're never going to be happy. And this is why when people keep thinking they need a person to make them happy, no one can make you happy. No matter what they give you, no matter how they treat you, you have to have the happiness inside of you. And then you're sharing it with one that you love. But if it's not inside of you, nobody can put it there. Well, if I can just make them treat me like this, if I can just make them give me that. No, because that still won't make you happy, because what's missing is what's inside of you. And when you find that, nobody can take it away.
Correct. We have a Facebook viewer, Consuela Fulford, said, "We seem to love those of other nations more than we love ourselves. The most valuable lesson that we need to teach our next generations, because they are the future of our nation. We are our brothers, sisters, keepers."
Yeah.
I absolutely agree with that. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
If we all take care of each other, then nobody will be suffering. Nobody will be angry. Nobody will feel like they have to steal. It's such a
simple
thing.
Because life will take care of itself when you take care of each other.
That's it. It's so simple. And that's all, any group that's successful, that's all they're doing, looking out for each other. It's such a simple principle. And if we observe, we'll see it in action. Any community that you see thriving, it's because people are looking out for each other. They are cooperating with each other. They're helping each other out. And they're caring about each other. That's what leads to prosperity. Any community that you see is impoverished is because people are not looking out for each other. They're not caring for each other. They're not cooperating with each other. So the principle is, what is the basic quote, love your neighbor as yourself?
Uh-huh.
If we just did that, then we would solve all our problems. When we didn't do that, when we betrayed each other, and we even got to the point where we sold each other, well, this is what we created. So accept the fact that, like Viata said, it's the karma that we created in not loving each other that caused us to get into this condition. It's not someone else's power over us. No one has power over us. We have the power to change how we're treating each other, and when we do that, we'll change the reality that we're creating.
Absolutely, and that takes self-responsibility.
Yeah.
When you're responsible for self, then you then harness your life. It's different. It's just, you know, living and existing and surviving is three different things.
Yeah.
And I think that some people really think they're living when they're just existing. And then they're not, and, you know, you're not changing anything. And the thing about it is, especially when it's defective. If it's defective, it's defective. You can come up with every excuse in the world, but it's just, that bird ain't going to fly. It can't fly. It does not have the ability to fly. So whatever we tell ourselves, whatever is in our minds, whatever we live in our virtual reality, we have to be very, very careful that it's not damnation. You know, because it can be. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because when we are not free, we are enslaved.
Absolutely. I'm going to open up the mic. L.A., did you have a comment about, you know, how do you think things would change if we changed the way we taught about the slave past, if we took more responsibility for having created it as opposed to blaming white people for it? What do you think if
we learned more about the history of the United States, particularly when it comes to slavery. Like, for instance, people got an in-person visual. Like for instance, was it yesterday or the day before yesterday? I guess it was yesterday, when Maika was on, and you were talking about Pembroke. There's a community within Pembroke called Hopkins Park. And if people would learn about the backstory for that, or just if they get a chance to get up in that Chicago area, make a side trip down to Pembroke in Hopkins Park, because that the family that that one of the families that helped, at least the way I heard the story, that formed the village of Hopkins Park, they walked from North Carolina. It was about a family of about 13, 15 kids or whatever. They walked from North Carolina to Illinois.
Wow.
And no internet, no Greyhound, none of that was around back then.
Oh wow. Bus, huh?
And they started, you know, a village. You know, so there's a lot of history like that. I know I flew up there about 3 years ago now. I flew up there just for one day to see it myself. Mm. So I think if we would and then learn more of the backstory on even some of the lynchings and the like most people that were lynched, not all, most people that were lynched during the Jim Crow era were not random black folks. They were wealthy black folks that, I mean, we're talking about people that had 500 to 600 acres of land, had successful businesses, and the people that lynched them, from my point of view, were basically frightened at the entrepreneurial power of black folks back then.
Right. That's what.
Right. They were frightened of it. So I think if we would learn, like say the podcast, I think you guys did it. Was it yesterday?
Yeah.
I think if there were more podcasts like that and more field trips where they can, like say, I flew from Orlando to Chicago for a day just to see that, and then flew back that night. So I think if people knew more about that, because there are other communities like that. There's another, let's see, Illinois's got one, founder of my talk about Female Solution, the former, Mother Priscilla Baltimore, she's got a Wikipedia page. She was born a slave, bought her freedom, and got together with a few other families in Missouri, and then they crossed the river over into Illinois, and they started what is called a Freedom Village. It's known today as Brooklyn, Illinois. But that was started by former slaves. And then the first black township in the United States, at least documented, was Frank McWhorter, also known as Free Frank McWhorter. He, I forgot where he was born, a slave, but he bought his freedom and then bought like 80 acres of land in Illinois and started the town of New Philadelphia, Illinois. Now, that town is a historic site now. It's no longer a populated town. But where you were, where I don't know if you were there yesterday, or I know you've been there, where Maika was calling from yesterday, that town, that community still exists.
Yeah.
So I think if people learn more about it and they would actually see it, your confidence level would go way up and think, you know what? I don't have any problems, because those people started these communities that are over 100 years old. No internet connection, no smartphone, no excuses.
Right.
No excuses. That's it.
Yeah, I think that's
I'll land my plane there.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for those words. We're going to take our last break. But, yeah, if we learn the history of what people achieved, and if we taught it in such a way that showed that you can achieve anything, you can't be afraid of someone else responding with jealousy, because that's all that violence was. It was jealousy and fear. You know, they're going to get more than I have. They're going to outstrip me in wealth. I mean, all of that is other people's jealousy because of their own lack of self-esteem or their own feelings of inferiority. But you can't base your actions on what other people think about you. That's their problem. It's not yours. And
correct.
You do have the power to escape pain. We keep believing that we don't have the power to stop a bad situation, but history shows that we do. We're not in slavery anymore. We're not just enduring it because we can't leave the plantation anymore, so we're just taking the beatings. We're not those dogs that just didn't try to get out of the gate anymore. We have overcome. We have escaped. We have stopped the pain. So let's not keep reinforcing the idea that we can't. We already did. And like LA's saying, there are many people who came with nothing, and they created thriving communities. And we have the same thing that they had then. We have everything we need.
Oh, that's so true. Okay. I got it, Consuela. I'll be getting back in touch with you.
All right, Consuela. Well, we're going to take this last break, and we'll be back. And if you're on our switchboard now and have a comment, please press 1, and we'll be glad to open your mic and hear your thoughts. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1. That'll light your number up on our switchboard. And if you're watching us on Soulful Solutions on Facebook Live, just write in your comments, and we'll pull them up on the screen and share them with our listening audience. And we will be right back after this last break, so we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us. All right.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325, and press 1 to speak.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday morning mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, self-care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, repairing broken families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, health and well-being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Trying to find an intro music. All right, where are we? Okay, here we go. And it is. All right, I got distracted here. Sorry.
Naima Latif of the Female Solution is the executive director, producer, and all in one. Absolutely. I just want to mention this because I know we're at the top of the hour here, 10 o'clock, that if you find yourself in a situation where you are living a rerun life, that's what I call it.
A rerun.
If you're living a rerun life of dysfunction and it appears to be that you still think that you are incapable of coming out of that dysfunction, listen to me very carefully. It takes 21 days to change a habit. It starts at 21 days, but it needs to continue and persist to 30 to 45 days. What am I saying to you? Look at the habit that you built up. If that habit is not healthy and is keeping you in that position, that habit needs to be changed immediately. I'm so sorry. It is not an option for you to stay in that dysfunction, because it's going to lead into an area where you're going to be crippled in life. You may think that you are controlling it. You may think that it's not harmful. You may think you can handle it. But if it's not giving you life and more abundantly, if it's not productive, if it's not bringing you joy, if it's not useful, that habit needs to be removed. If that habit is linked to anyone, any human being that walks this earth, anything, any past situation, or whatever it may be coming from, you have to detach from that thing. I'm not saying not to love it. I'm not saying not to be there for it. I say detach mentally and emotionally enough where you can free yourself. Because if you don't detach enough, you're not going to see a gateway of escape.
You know, we got a caller on the line. I'll open their mic. You know, I think of a lot of people who they base their self-esteem on the relationship that they have, even if that person treats them badly, because sometimes the person treats them good, you know, but then the bad times tend to increase, but they keep staying there hoping that the good times will return, and they don't realize the point at which the bad has now outweighed the good, and they're still staying there accepting the bad. You know, why do people do that? Why, you know, what takes them so long to decide, this is not how I want to be treated, I need to leave. I can't change them. I have to change myself. I have to change my decision. Why am I staying here hoping it'll get better? You said it takes 21 days to change a habit. Is there a time frame on how long? Right. Is there a time frame people should look at to stay in a situation when someone is behaving badly and treating them badly? Is there a time frame for a person to decide, okay, I've taken this long enough? You know, 5 years, 20 years. At what point do you say
there's a time frame? It's time and frequency. How many times it is happening and how long it's been happening. that's your determination right there of the, you know, it's going to let you know. And, you know, the thing about this is we have over 40 to 50,000 thoughts per day.
Mm.
Per day. Don't you know at least 80% of those are negative?
Wow. Wow.
This is the negative reason why that. The subconscious mind is permeated, Naeem, so ferociously. Because our mind gravitate to negative energy than positive energy.
So that has that habit has to be changed. You have to make a conscious 21-day effort.
Consistent.
To change.
You gotta be consistent
with
it though.
That
when you start
it.
And if you, let's say you start and you go straight for 3 or 4 days and then you stop for 5 or 6 days, the brain's gonna not take you seriously.
Mm.
It's gonna go it's
right
gonna
back
right
negative
back
pattern.
To where it begins.
Wow.
You have to do it 21 days to push off.
Right.
Okay.
At
but
least.
You continue that process 30, 45, 60, and before you realize it, now you're
it's
not
a
thinking
way of life.
The same way.
Yeah, that's
right. Because your
wow.
subconscious is going to prompt you.
Mm.
It's going to cue you, C-U-E. It's going to let you know, hey, what are you doing?
Mm.
I mean, seriously.
Wow.
You hear a thought that says, oh, don't do that. That's not right. It will let you know when you are in the dysfunctional area.
When you're falling
but
back into that negative thought.
When you have adapted, when your brain has been trained to just see, think, feel the negative, all you're gonna you're not gonna get anything. You're just gonna get the same broken
TV. You have to consciously change it. Wow. Well, let me open the mic.
It ain't possible.
Mm.
They don't
can't
love
do
you.
It. They won't.
Don't
they,
try
they're,
no
they're
more.
Not going to change.
You're going to fail.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. It has a voice.
They
the
won't let me.
The voice.
Wow.
We hear it all the time.
Got to turn that voice off. Well, let me open the mic for 407-701. I believe we've got our queen, Sister Viata, Grand Rising. Looking forward to hearing your voice tomorrow as well. But, you know, Viata, we've been talking about this thing about the victim thing with the slavery and how some folks can't let it go and you know, the negative self-talk. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Thank you, Naeema and Dr. Debbie. This is just these are million-dollar questions I'm listening to. It's like, whoa, yep. But it reminded me of 1 Corinthians 13. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, or in our current day, when I became a woman or a man, I put away childish things. So that's what this conversation kept bringing to my mind is that, and I'm sure both of you will agree that the root of these problems we're talking about is this inner child trauma that hasn't been healed. Because I'm working with people for the last 10, 20 years who don't even look at their childhood traumas as the root cause of, say, their addiction that they're in, or staying in an abusive relationship, a toxic marriage, a toxic relationship. They don't even look at their childhood as the root of the problem. And like you're saying, they don't really see a need to change anything for some reason. So I think, and I think you'll agree, that once you get this person to sit down and really talk about, what was your childhood like? What were the relationships like? That's even hard for people to do, to talk about. They might say something, oh, well, my mother died, this and my mother, and then that's all they want to talk about. Like, well, how did you feel about that? Oh, I didn't feel anything. It's like lying. You're right. You didn't feel anything. So anyway, that's a million-dollar question. So I'm glad we are, the Female Solution is available every day to bring these discussions out, because most people are clueless. And I want to invite, I want to invite people to come in tomorrow morning on health and well-being. I have a shaman from Texas as my guest. This lady is just fabuloso about Mercury retrograde and how it affects our health. But we both agreed that we need to talk about heart issues, heart attacks and heart pains and how to build a healthy heart. I think that might be the title. How to build a healthier heart in this Mercury retrograde season, because it's affecting all of us when the planets are doing certain things. And I love talking to astrologists and numerologists who are paying attention you know, like Kwame Sunhorse, who comes on and reminds us Mercury's here, Saturn's here, and that. Oh, that's why I'm having these arguments I'm having every day right now. So that's what we're going to talk about tomorrow morning. And thank you, ladies, so much for bringing these topics up.
Yeah, well, you know, Viola, one of the things that I look at, when everybody in your environment is dysfunctional, you don't know that you're also living in dysfunction. I mean,
right.
if we look at childhoods where everybody we know, you know, got spankings, beatings, you can stand outside the house and hear them getting beat, you know, even laugh about it sometimes. You get older and people laugh, oh, yeah, you know, my mother used to make me go out and get the
street. How about everybody had an alcoholic parent?
Everybody had an alcoholic, you know, oh, Uncle So-and-so came over for the barbecue, he's drunk again, and, you know, everybody laughs about
that.
Yeah,
normal, just normal.
Yeah, you know, Uncle So-and-so molested, you know, don't be alone with Uncle So-and-so. I mean, everybody knowing that this functional behavior exists, but because everybody had it, there wasn't a recognition that it was dysfunctional. And I think that's probably the biggest challenge that we have, is not identifying what's dysfunctional, because everybody's dysfunctional. So
that's right.
Maybe, Dr. Debbie, what should we look at as a model of functional behavior, especially if everybody in your environment, everybody's marriage was violent, you know, it was normal for people to call the police on each other or beat each other up. It was normal for the children to get beaten to a point where they got scars on their back. I mean, all these things that people lived with that was considered normal, even though it was highly abusive and dysfunctional. How do we find a model for what is healthy behavior so that we have an image of what we want to shoot for?
Well, even after that has been said, out of every family, there's a matriarch, okay? Mm. And that matriarch, most of the time, is either great-grandmother or something of that nature, or grand-aunt, somebody who was the pillar of the family, okay,
yeah,
that didn't have these major dysfunction.
Sometimes they were the ones that was the problem. You know,
that's
the one that beat everybody and was verbally,
you know,
abusive.
The ones who pointed out the things. Like, you know, maybe don't do that because so-and-so.
Hopefully there was a wise one.
Maybe don't do this. So-and-so is, you know, the ones who pointed out, right? I believe there's always somebody in a family that can identify what's wrong and what's right, how to live a life of integrity.
Mm.
And even if you did not have that, you have to ask yourself, what's your truth?
Yeah.
What is your truth that will bring you, because the truth is going to bring freedom. And when the freedom comes, it's going to bring trust, and trust is going to bring respect.
Mm.
So it has to line up. If it's not useful, if it's not productive or brings you joy, then it's not truth, and it's not freedom.
Right.
And it has to be a consistent flow. It can't just be, oh, yes, sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not. No, we know we got to ebb and flow in life. We know it's, you know, high mountains and deep valleys. But in the midst of it all, you should be content in where you are. If you got to struggle and fight and constantly going back and forth, you got to ask yourself, what am I struggling for?
Right.
Who am I struggling with?
And why do
if I
believe I'm supposed
to struggle with someone
to
keep a relationship? I'm gonna drop my hand.
Well, that's
I
the
am.
Thing, though.
I'm gonna drop my hands. I can't keep pulling teeth. That's what I call pulling teeth with no apparatus. That means I gotta keep grabbing and pulling and pushing. If I gotta do all that to maintain a decent relationship with you, when all you're doing is taking me back and forth, I have to make a decision. And I have to set boundaries and limits with everything outside of myself that's constantly pulling my power.
Mm. You know, I think the models that we've been given of what we're striving for in a relationship, because, you know, you have your points of disagreement and you have your points of argument even, but because we've seen, and many of us have grown up with extremes of behavior where an argument escalates into violence, or maybe even authorities have to be called. And, you know, when you see that habitually, there's the thought that this is just how it is. And maybe that's the thing that we have to help people work with so that they have an image of what is acceptable even in conflicts, so that you know how to resolve a conflict in a way that is not dysfunctional. Jana, who hosts on Saturdays, always talks about, what is it, nonviolent communication, a whole system of listening to people and empathizing so that you can understand their point of view and resolve things, as opposed to, you know, we argue until somebody hits somebody and then we fight and then somebody calls the police and then somebody gets taken away and then they come back the next day and then we are silent for a day or two and then we go back to talking like everything's fine. And children growing up in that environment, they never learn how to peacefully resolve a difference, and they never even learn the process of reconciliation. It's just everybody's dysfunctional, and then, you know, after we stop speaking and the house is silent for a while, and then eventually we just go back to normal. And there's so many families that's the pattern. So if you're living that and you don't know how to get out of that, and you know it feels bad, but you never saw anybody get out of that or not living that, then how do you create something when you don't have the tools and you don't have the experience or the vision of what it looks like to actually be at peace with people, because you haven't been living peace and you don't know that peace is possible?
That's just it, though. That's why self-creation is the greatest tool given to man. Mm-hmm. And when you were 5 years old, you had this thing called self-creation. Someone gave you 3 crayons and a piece of paper. They didn't have to tell you what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Your brain knew exactly what to do. Is if you sat down somewhere, got you a table, or whatever the case was, it didn't even have any form. But guess what? You put something on paper.
Mm-hmm.
That was your print. That was your creation. You didn't look at it. You didn't ask mom, does this look good? Or you know, whoever your little buddy was. You didn't care about, children are the most resilient in the world. And as we continue to grow and we become adults, we forgot. We have this thing called resilience. So in other words, if I didn't find my peace outside of myself, that means it's got to be on the inside of me. It has to be. It ain't on the outside and the people I see.
Mm.
So what am I going to do? I'm just, what most people do, they give up on life. Oh, I'll never be happy because this one don't love me. This one doing it for me. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, all right. Here comes 10, 15 years later. You still singing the same song.
Mm.
So when somebody does come to want to give you love, giving you some real love, some love it's not even similar to the dysfunctional love that you got, because you didn't even know what real love was.
Right.
Okay? You thought it was real love when somebody told you that you wasn't this and wasn't that. You thought that's how people loved you.
Mm.
So here comes this person that comes and says, you know what? You are worthy. Let me do something for you. Let me just tell you how good you are. And they do it on a consistent basis. And you're looking at them like they're weird.
What's wrong with you?
Because you ain't never had it. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So now we self-sabotage, so that learned helplessness becomes so reality.
Yeah,
it's like
I've seen that.
It goes from self-defeat, self-sabotage, leading to self-destruction.
Yeah.
And then when you totally, when it really, really dawns on you, when you're in your late 50s or, God forbid, for you to be in your 70s, one day you sitting there, have I really lived?
Wow.
Have I really lived? Have I been living all this time for my sisters, brothers, my children, my husband, my wife? I've been living all this time for them.
And never enjoyed my own self.
Never realizing. Let me tell you this real quick. I have a patient at work right now. He's 74.
Wow.
He's 74 years old, and he said, I came here because I was drinking, and I just can't stop crying, and I don't know what's wrong with me.
Wow.
That's what he said. So, you know, I examined his life, took him back to find out where the holes were, because I know there's some holes.
He's grieving somewhere.
Because fill it with alcohol, right?
Yeah.
So make a long story short, he said, all my life, I was living, since I've been 12 years old, making other I did everything to make my parents happy. I did everything to make my sisters and brothers happy. And I then created a life for myself of my own family. Here
wow.
comes my children. I got four children, and I lived for them, and I lived for her. And I've been married for 39 years
yeah.
and still don't know who I am.
Oh, how sad. Wow.
And it's reality, isn't it? It's reality for some people. He said, and in his mind, if they're not happy, he's not happy.
Mm.
If they're hurting, he's hurting.
So he was conditioned to that as a child.
Conditioned
yeah.
as a child to only outside influences.
Yes. Right.
No inside
you must make other people happy. That's what you must do.
So can I add to that? My grandchildren hate time out. Why do they hate time out? Because they have to sit alone and be with themselves. So that to me is, as you're talking, that's the childish part of us as adults. We don't want to sit alone and be with ourselves. But when I see this in my grandchildren, all right, you need to go to time out. And that's what we do as adults. So that's the part of the solution is be with yourself for a while and leave and go away from all these people who are influencing you to think negative, to think like a child. So that's what this season of Mercury retrograde is really all about, is healing the inner child and being with yourself. So maybe people will take that lesson and run with it.
Healing the inner child.
And see, the thing about this is, Vienna, but the problem is this. He's programmed.
No
self-awareness that this has been happening for years and years and years.
Yep.
So now the being, your flesh, your soul, your body, your mind is grieved because you have to give so much energy to your inside inner man. Your inner man has been neglected for years and years and years.
Yes.
And you really satisfied yourself. So, yes, it is the inner child. Yes, it is the dysfunction. But the only way to come out, you have to reprogram. So that's who I have on to make a story short. I got 2 minutes to say this. He is being reprogrammed cognitively.
Mm.
Every single day he comes to his therapy. And he comes 5 days a week. And he sits in there from 6 to 7 hours a day to reprogram his mind and find the inner man. Find that person that he never, ever gave life to so he can live life of freedom for however else long he has on earth.
And learn to live to make himself happy.
He got to discover what he wants.
Yeah,
he
what do
doesn't
I
even
want?
Know what he wants.
That's it. You know, that's pretty powerful because a lot of us have been trained to think we're not supposed to live for ourselves, that's being selfish. We have a lot of people who unfortunately,
no, it's necessary.
They've been conditioned.
Take care of you.
That's
no
it.
Matter what happens. That's
take
my
care.
Last word.
Well, all right. Well, thank you, Viana, and
thank you, LA, and all those who listen.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
All of you for joining us today. Join us every day on
every.
The email. Mobile. Another word of wisdom from Consuela.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives.
Are repeating the sickness of many of our elders is, in fact, the generational curse. We have acknowledged our flaws and actively make efforts to break that chain.
Break that chain.
And instill those changes while explaining our children. Absolutely.
Yes, there you go.
And that's coming from a young lady. I'm so glad that you've got that. Hold on to it.
Like she says, we got to teach our children. Absolutely. We have to break that chain. We have to break that chain. It shouldn't go on another.
Every Thursday comes, Swiller, so please come back every Thursday, 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I know you're in Mississippi. That's going
to
be 7 a.m.
Like to
your
thank
time.
All of you who participated
so
in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you.
Your time.
To
all
our
right.
family in China,
India,
Zanyaba, Japan, Arigato, Korea,
Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias. Italy, Grazie. Egypt, Shukran. Ghana, Medasi. Nigeria, Eshe. South Africa, Ngiyabonga. Senegal, Jerez. Kenya, Asante. Israel, Toda. Pakistan, Shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakor. Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.